So maybe C.
Great. Okay, so perfect. Pyloric stenosis, you nailed the acid-base disturbance, metabolic alkalosis, hypochloremic, hypokalemic, right? And the vomiting is
Yes.
non-bilious, it's forceful, high-intensity vomiting, and it's going to be in a kid usually within the first couple months of life. So they might tell you there's an olive-shaped mass in the abdomen. They don't have to say that. You're going to diagnose with ultrasound if they ask. That's the next best step. It's just abdo ultrasound. And treatment would be myomectomy. Pyloric stenosis can occur in firstborn males and also with erythromycin use in neonates. Oral erythromycin use, you say, well, why would you give it then? It's because that's used for ophthalmia neonatorum. That's used for chlamydial eye infections in neonates. The reason we give oral and not topical erythromycin for the chlamydial ophthalmia neonatorum is because they can get nasolacrimal duct drainage, which can lead to a chlamydial pneumonia. So if you give topical, you're not going to cover the potential for pneumonia. And they have questions like that. They say, kid was treated with topical erythromycin. And then he goes on to get dyspnea like 2 weeks later, and they say, what's the diagnosis? The answer is chlamydia trachomatis pneumonia. Not chlamydia pneumoniae, it's chlamydia trachomatis pneumonia, right? Why they don't just give like azithromycin or something, I don't know. But they give erythromycin, and it's a modulin receptor agonist. It must be more effective in pediatrics, but it's just,
Is the one I missed?
the reason your erythromycin causes pyloric stenosis is because it's a modulin. In addition to being an antibiotic, it's a modulin receptor agonist. Okay, so it can cause hypertrophy of the pylorus. Duodenal atresia, though, in contrast, as you know, bilious vomiting, double bubble sign on abdominal X-ray. You can also get annular pancreas causing duodenal obstruction and a double bubble sign, but duodenal atresia is way more likely. That's Down syndrome, duodenal atresia. Okay. Don't forget, Down syndrome is also Hirschsprung disease, just sort of tangentially. One student mentioned getting a question where they gave a triple bubble sign, outrageous, which is apparently jejunal atresia. If there's a jejunal obstruction, you can get a triple bubble sign. Congenital midgut volvulus is a high yield diagnosis for shelf. Congenital midgut volvulus is the answer if they tell you that an upper GI series confirms the diagnosis. And you will get a kid who can be like a 2-year-old under the age of two. This is where it's key. It's going to present similarly to intussusception, except you are not going to get blood in the stool. This is congenital midgut volvulus we're talking about. So this is a very
Which is
difficult.
also malrotation.
Which one?
The congenital midgut volvulus,
No.
that's from malrotation.
Correct. So they'll give you, let's say, a paragraph. You see the last line says an upper GI series is shown. It kind of looks like a corkscrew. And you're like, well, I don't really know what I'm looking at here. And then it's a contrast follow through. That's what it is. You're like, I don't really know what I'm looking at here. And then you see, like in the answer choices, choice B, malrotation of the proximal bowel. So that's congenital midgut volvulus. And as I was saying before, on one of the newer pediatric forms, it presents like intussusception, but without blood in the stool. So intussusception is classically going to be a kid under the age of two who's got intermittent, that's the key, intermittent squatting or crying, bringing the legs to the chest. Intermittent vomiting. They give intermittent as part of the presentation with pain, and there's blood in the stool or a positive fecal occult blood test. You're always going to have the positive blood in the stool for intussusception questions. So there's a question on one of the newer peds forms where it sounds like intussusception. You're like, oh, kid under the age of two, he's like bringing his legs to his chest and crying. Like, that's classic intussusception. But they don't say anything about blood in the stool, and they tell you air fluid levels of the small bowel. Like, they didn't mention an upper GI series. They said air fluid levels of the small bowel. And the answer was just volvulus. That's it. Okay. That is how you get 100 on the peds shelf because that question's absurdly difficult and everyone gets it wrong.
So the answer to that was the volvulus is
Correct.
ultrasound shows fluid levels of small bowel.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So most of the time, it's just going to be upper GI series. showing malrotation. That's congenital midgut volvulus. But your other presentation is going to be kid who it sound you're like, oh, sounds like volvulus, but they don't mention blood in the stool. And they might say, oh, some like ultrasound was done showing air fluid levels. That is going to be volvulus as well. And I'm telling you that because it's on the peds, it's on the newer peds forms. Everyone gets it wrong. I thought it was intussusception. I saw the answer to the question ultimately, like highlighted online, and it was volvulus. I'm like, no fucking way. That was volvulus. Like one of those questions.
Yeah.
So it's how the NBME, the Clinical Master Series, are assessing it. And same thing with the diabetes that I was telling you, where it was like it was a 17-year-old, and the answer was type 2 diabetes. And it's like, really? Type 2 diabetes in a 17-year-old? But apparently the Americans are seeing that frequently now.
I believe it.
You know? I was chatting with another student about that, I think from Detroit. And the student was saying that they saw like plenty of diabetes, and like they saw a diabetic case in a 10-year-old, like type 2, not type 1.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's crazy. So those are two harder diagnoses, but we'll come back to more of that stuff. Like you'll be an ace at like all of the intussusception, midgut volvulus, all those types of diagnoses. Like you'll be an ace at all those. It's just clockwork. It's all it is. I mean, it's just like we can build your peds. We can get your peds pretty high. Like I have no doubt that we can get your peds pretty high. Like we continue going through more of these concepts, and then just I layer it with review for you, and then I'll ask you questions. Like we do the questions like this, and then I'll also just like not send you questions, but ask you questions. I think we did some of that high yield like review. Exactly. Like I think if we do that for peds, we're gonna have you. You're gonna be pretty sharp on your peds. You know, and we'll do it for OBSGYN.
And family.
Yeah.
MTK right after.
Yeah. It's easy. I mean, it's easy in terms of like, it's just it's an easy sequence in terms of I know how to build your score based on the questions followed by review, like, and focusing on high yield points. It's just a matter of like, with your schedule and making sure we can get it in before your exams.
Yeah.